Open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. Our theme in the entire service today is the peace of God. I want us to really think deeply, if we can, this morning, and just let God's Word just fill our hearts and minds. Sometimes it's you guys ever like me? Sometimes it's hard to listen. You ever been that way? And I pray this morning we can just maybe lay the distractions down, pick up God's Word, and just really listen to what God has to say. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything. All right, let that sink in for just a minute. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, the peace of God which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. When we think about the peace of God and we think about this passage, at the very beginning, we almost have to ask, is this really true? Can this be true? Well, maybe it was true in the first century. The Apostle Paul, he spent time with Jesus Christ himself. You know, maybe this is true. Maybe it was true then, but this sense of do not be anxious about anything at all. Pray about everything, and God's peace will guard you, your heart, your mind. Is that possible? Is that even relevant in such a world today where there's hostility and there's a lack of peace, if you will? Well, let's get some things straight before we begin. First off, we understand that there are things that we're to care about. There are things we're to be concerned about. So when Paul says, do not be anxious, he's not saying, well, just who cares? He's not saying that. There are people we care about. There are things that we care about. There's a need to be careful in the way that we live. We should be concerned about things, about people. And our minds should be focused on things that are important and people, the important people in our lives. But when the Apostle Paul says, do not be anxious, it is that moment when cares and concerns become anxiety about the future. Anxiety that turns into torment, stomach tied in knots, sleepless nights, isolation, loneliness. Anybody know where we're going here? Do not be anxious about anything. No. Care about people. Care about things in your life. Be careful. But are those cares and those concerns turning into a stomach tight and knots, turning into sleepless nights, turning into isolation and loneliness? Paul says first, do not be anxious about anything. There's two commands we'll look at today, a negative command and a positive command. And in these commands, Paul is giving us a pathway to peace, that we as believers should not live lives with our stomachs tied in knots or sleepless nights. We shouldn't live in long-term anxiety. We can experience peace And so he says, do not be anxious. Do not be anxious about anything. Now, we understand from the Word of God that peace, as Robert Smith has put it, peace is not the absence of adversity. We're not to pray for a trouble-free life. Because what did Jesus tell his disciples? What is true for them and true for us today? In this world, you will what? You will have trouble. In this world, you will have suffering. Which, mind you, there's preachers on TV that promise all kinds of things like, send me your money and you won't have any trouble or suffering. Well, guess what? Jesus said it, you will have trouble. Do believers have trouble? Do believers experience suffering? Boy, in the years that I've been here at this church, I look around this room and I can see faces, and behind those faces, I see life experiences that you've had. I look around this room, I've seen people who've been through the valley, been in the dark places, been through the troubles of life, the suffering of life. So when we say do not be anxious, we're not talking about a problem-free life, a life free of suffering. No, not at all. Paul is telling us that in the midst of our trouble, in the midst of our suffering, there is peace. Worry has been defined as assuming responsibility that God never intended us to have. Some of you may be like me, that when trouble comes, I want to pull out my Mr. Fix-It toolbox. You know, anybody do that? I have a lot of respect for the men and women who work out here at Arkansas Nuclear One. And you imagine, you know, there's probably an office over there somewhere, and on the door it says, guy in charge, you know? And you know, what if Mike Cloud walked in there one day, knocked on the door and said, hey, guy in charge, go ahead, take a break, I'll take it from here. Something tells me that possibility doesn't even exist. But have you ever been in this place? Have we acknowledge that God is the one in charge, right? We believe God's in charge, is that correct? He's the almighty maker of heaven and earth. He is in charge. I believe that when we worry, we're assuming responsibility for things we're not to be in charge of. And it's as if we go to God's office, we knock on the door and we say, hey, God, you can take a break. I've got it from here. The manager of the universe, the sustainer of all things. Hey, you can take a break. I'll assume your responsibility. The Lord says, no. Through the Apostle Paul here, do not live life like that. Do not be anxious about anything. But what do we hear? We hear the word pray about everything. Do not worry about anything, but this positive command, pray about everything. Pray about everything. Notice the contrast here. Don't worry about anything. Don't be anxious about anything. What fits in that category of anything? Anything, right? And so the positive command, anything that fits within that world of anything that causes you anxiety and worry, pray about everything. What fits in that category? Everything. Can you pray about everything? Everything, all of it. And notice the words that Paul piles one on top of the other. In everything by prayer, in everything by supplication, in everything with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Your prayers, your supplications, your words of thanksgiving, all of your requests, everything. everything. Talk to God about everything. We see this emphasis here on talking to God. This may be shocking here, but I want to tell you guys, you can talk to God on Monday. Did you know that? You can sing to God on Thursday. You know what? In the middle of the night, you're not going to wake God up. You can talk to God then too. You can talk to God all the time. Think about that. We can go to God with everything at any time. You may say, well, Mike, you don't understand. There's billions of people that live in this world. You know what? God can handle that. You know, I'm one of those guys that changing a light bulb can be a real difficulty for me, you know. Hey, God, you know what? He can do billions of things all at the same time. He can listen to billions of people. Have you thought about that? And so we can talk to God. We can talk to Him about our needs. We can bring our requests to Him. All of those things that are causing us worry and anxiety. Talk to God about everything. So I ask you this morning, what circumstance is causing you anxiety? Would you be honest with God today? What person is causing you anxiety? What problem is causing you to lose sleep at night? What situation is causing your stomach to be tied in knots? There's a beautiful picture here of bringing everything to God and the God who can what? Can bring peace. Now, I want you to notice, first of all, the fact that we can experience peace with God. Paul here says, bring all your requests to the Lord and experience the peace of God. But let's first understand, we cannot have the peace of God until we have peace with God. I want to show you a verse here, Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Same author, Paul, says it this way in this letter to the Romans. He says, therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I don't want to cause you to be anxious this morning, but I need to let you know about something. We're all born with big problems, okay? And our number one big problem is the fact that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And because we've sinned against God, we are His enemy. We are not at peace with God. We are born in sin. We're sinners by nature. We're sinners by choice. But God has made a way that we can have peace with Him. He could have said, you know what? You're going to get what you deserve. I'm going to leave you right where you are. But no, God so loved the world, He gave His only Son. And through Jesus' death on the cross, through His resurrection, we can be justified by faith in Christ Jesus. That word justified means to be declared righteous. When you look at the core of peace, what you find is reconciliation. It's not the absence of adversity. It's not the absence of conflict. And it's not the absence of sin. Listen, no. When we go to the cross, here's what happened. The great exchange, if you will, Jesus, the perfect Son of God, on that cross, He exchanged His righteousness, His perfection, and He was clothed in our sin, our shame, our guilt, all our troubles, if you will. And He experienced the penalty. The wages of sin is death. He died on that cross for you and for me. And so by faith, when we go to the cross and we say, Jesus, I believe in You. I accept Your forgiveness. What happens is we can take our sin to the cross and exchange our sin, our shame, our guilt, our death penalty, if you will, and we can exchange that for His righteousness. And through the cross, we can have peace with God. So my first question for you this morning is, are you at peace with God? Have you made peace with God through Jesus Christ, His Son? You cannot experience the peace of God until you have called out to Him and experienced peace with Him through Jesus Christ. And the Scriptures are very clear. All who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Saved from your sin and your shame and your guilt. Peace with God. Spurgeon said it this way, a man conscious of being guilty can never know the peace of God until he becomes equally conscious of being forgiven. Most of us know what it feels like to feel guilty and have a guilty conscience. I want to ask you this morning, do you know what it feels like to be forgiven? To be equally conscious of being forgiven, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. And this is what we must repeat to ourselves every day. When you have peace with God, you must go back to that truth every day. I am forgiven. I am justified. I am at peace with God through my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But also, there's this emphasis here upon peace with other people. Back up just a couple of verses into verse 2 and 3. There are a couple of believers in the church here, and surprise, surprise, they're having conflict with each other. Now, let me ask you something. Can believers be in conflict with other believers? Can two believers be married and have conflict? Is that possible? I'm not going to ask my wife. I'm just asking y'all over there. Is that possible at your house? Can believers? I urge, listen, verse 2, I entreat Euodia and Syntyche to agree in the Lord. You mean believers can have disagreements? A wise counselor of mine told me one time, he said, Mike, you take two people, two imperfect people, an imperfect woman, an imperfect man, and you put them together, and you know what you have? A big problem. That's what you have. Hey, listen, we're sinners. We've already established that fact. We have sinful hearts and motives, and here we have in the Scriptures two ladies. We don't have all the details, but the bottom line, there's some kind of disagreement. And Paul says, notice verse 3, I ask you, church, help these women. You see that there, verse 3? Now, seriously, do you know one task in the church that we all need to be serious about? And I'm not joking about this. You know something we need to be serious about? Helping other people. You ever needed help? You ever had a conflict you couldn't solve? You ever had a problem you couldn't solve? Paul says, church, I need you to help these ladies. Help them. Help them to agree in the Lord. They've labored by my side in the gospel. All these fellow workers, they're all written. Their names are all written in the book of life. They've all been justified by faith. They know the Lord Jesus. They're going to live life forever in heaven. But I need you to help them. As the church, we need to be peacemakers, not peace breakers. Amen? If anyone should know how to resolve conflict, it should be believers in Jesus Christ. Living at peace with each other, living at peace with family, with friends, with coworkers, to agree in the Lord, to experience not only peace with God, but peace with other people. Help these women. Help them agree in the Lord. The church should be a place not free of conflict. There's going to be conflict. There's imperfect people all in this room today. But the church should be a place where people are helping people find peace and reconciliation and agreement. Now, notice this. Is this possible that we can talk to God and be thankful for everything in our life? Talk to God about everything by prayer, supplication, let your requests be made known, and all in the context of what? Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. Now, let's get one thing straight here. You know where Paul was when he wrote this letter? He was in jail. It's easy for me to be thankful when times are going good. It's easy for me to be thankful when everybody agrees with me, which I have three daughters, and so that rarely happens. But they help me. They help me see my flaws. But notice what Philippians 4:4. A lot of these verses, I really didn't see how they all went together until I got to studying this context. But you know, Philippians 4:4 is written in the context of problems and suffering and adversity and jail and prison. Rejoice in the Lord. What's that next word? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I'll say rejoice. I had a week of vacation last week, and my wife and I and our family, we had a lot of fun together. We ended up at up in Branson at Steal Your Dollar City. That's where we ended up. And if y'all need directions, I can tell you where that is. Rejoice in the Lord always. Well, my middle daughter and I, Mal, we got on one of these rides. And, you know, there's some anxiety there, you know, when you get on these roller coasters. And what started to make me real anxious is we weren't taking off. You know, we were buckled in. They had checked everybody. But Lord, me and Mal, we're just sitting there nervous, wondering, when are they going to start this thing? And then they start it, and it's one of those rides where you go 100 miles an hour, and you do this and that, and you stop, and you think it's over. I hate those rides. Because then you go click, 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 and then it starts all over again. Has life ever been that way for any of y'all? Lord Jesus, if I could just have some peaceful, calm waters for just a little while, you know? And life, it feels like that roller coaster. A lot of you know I love weather and all these things. I've been watching these last couple days, these earthquakes in California. And I saw one give an interview, and they were asking him about it. And he said, man, the earth was shaking under my feet, and there wasn't anything I could do about it. Sometime life ever feel like that? Everything's shaking under your feet. There's nothing you can do about it. It's like a roller coaster. Anxiety robs us of peace. It robs us of joy. It robs us of thankful hearts. And in its place, there's discontentment, there's harshness, there's bitterness, there's conflict, there's fear, there's condemnation. There's a lot of ugly stuff. In those sleepless nights and the stomach tight and knots, there's just all this ugly stuff, and it just robs us of peace and joy. And we hurt the people we love, and instead of peace, there's hostility and disagreements. And in this passage, Philippians 4:4-5, notice what comes next. The Lord is near. The Lord is near. Now, at Silver Dollar City, when that roller coaster come around the corner, and I saw, oh, goodness, there's the people that's going to get me off of this thing. A lot of folks think right here, and when Paul is saying the Lord is near, he's alluding to the coming of the Lord Jesus. In essence, the Lord is coming soon. You see, I'll tell you that in this life, there's going to be trouble. There's going to be suffering. But I hope you heard those words that Robert and the worship team were sharing a while ago. There's coming a day. There's coming a day when the Lord comes, He'll wipe every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death, no more sorrow. I think as believers, you know what we need to do on a daily basis? We need to get up and say, the Lord is near. He's coming. Is it today? I don't know. Is it tomorrow? I don't know. But put my Mr. Fix-It toolbox, put it back in the closet and say, one day the Lord will come, and when He comes, He will fix everything. He will make everything right. Prayer changes our perspective. When we've truly talked to God and handed things over, our perspective is changed, and I don't have to fix it. I've given it to Him. If anything, when I say, Lord, I can't fix it, I'm also saying, Lord, I'm going to stop trying to fix it. I can't do it. It's not working. I'm going to hand it over. I'm going to hand everything over to You. Paul said it this way, Romans 14, 17, the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking. Sometimes we want to drink away our problems or eat away our problems. There's temporary things. Watching TV yesterday with my girls, and y'all know those 1995 commercials, you know, for 1995, you buy this and it'll take care of all your problems. We was watching one of those yesterday, and one of the girls was like, that's what I need right there. That's it. I want you to know the peace of God, you can't buy it for $19.95. The peace of God, it is God's peace. The only place you can find it is in Him. There's not a drink. There's not a food. There's nothing. There's not a place. There's not a person on this earth. It's the peace of God. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit of God. If you have the Holy Spirit living within you, which the Scriptures teaches, when we call upon the Lord and we're saved, Holy Spirit of God comes to live within us. And if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus and you have the Holy Spirit in you, you can have peace and joy no matter the circumstance. Whether you have a dime or a nickel in your pocket, you can have peace and joy in the Holy Spirit of God. So we have two commands. The negative command, do not be anxious about anything. The positive command, pray about everything. And then a promise to claim, experience the peace of God. What a promise. Verse 7, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Will. It's a promise. The peace of God will. It will guard your hearts. It's a supernatural peace. Paul, somewhat struggling to explain the peace of God, it's this peace that it goes beyond all of our understanding. I look around this room and some of the valleys and the dark places you've been, and I know that you would tell me, Mike, it was a peace that is just unbelievable. Incredible. In that helpless place, in that hopeless place, in that dark place, in the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, supernatural peace. We need to focus on what is true. Philippians 4:8, brothers, whatever's true, whatever's honorable, think about these things. I don't know if this will work for you, but take note cards, sticky notes, put them on the dashboard, put them on the bathroom mirror. Here's a verse, Isaiah 40:28. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. Paul said it this way, Ephesians 3:20, now to him who's able to do far more abundantly than we could ever ask or think. Go to him. Think about what is true. What does the Lord promise? Gordon Fee said it this way, peace comes because prayer is an expression of trust, and God's people do not need to have it all figured out in order to trust him. You know what keeps me from God sometimes? It's my pride. It's my pride. And sometimes I don't want to trust him. I don't want to lean on him. I'd rather do it my own way. And boy, I just kind of do like this. But prayer is that expression of trust. And I'm honest with God and I say, Lord, I don't know how to fix this. I can't do it. I don't have it all figured out. You know what that is? That's humility. That's trust. The peace of God is supernatural and it secures us. This beautiful word, it will guard your heart and your mind. Verse 9, the God of peace will be with you. Paul could have chosen any word, any image, but he chose the image here of God's peace serving as like a guard, like a Roman soldier standing guard around a garrison. That's how God's peace is. The strong and mighty God that guards our hearts and our minds. I want you to know something. Sometimes we can't trust our hearts. We can't trust our thoughts. We need God to guard our hearts and minds. Fill our hearts and minds with his truth. You ever think things that are not true? Huh? Focus on the truth. Let God's word, let his spirit guard your heart and mind and say over and over and over, God is near, God is near. I'll not leave you alone. I'll not leave you as an orphan. I am the Almighty God. Focus on the truth on Monday. Go back to it on Tuesday. Repeat it Wednesday. Come back around to it Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Focus on these things. I want to ask our musicians to come today. And when we talk about this promise of peace and to pray about everything, there'll be pastors here this morning, but I'm going to ask some of my Celebrate Recovery brothers and sisters to come too. They're used to praying with folks. There's going to be some ladies here. There's going to be some men here. And I want to ask you this morning, you can walk out of here and pretend everything's okay. That's an option. But what other place than the church can you come down and say, will you pray with me? I got this request. I've got this trouble. I got this I'm suffering through. So there'll be ladies here. There'll be men here, pastors here. Take advantage of that. This last verse I want to leave with you, Psalm 18, verse 6. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. Peace is not the absence of adversity. It's not the absence of stress or problems. In my adversity, in my distress, I called on the Lord. You know what comes next? He heard my voice. Call upon Him today. Father, I pray in our hearts and our minds, we can know that we can have peace with You and we can have Your peace. Help us today, Lord, to be humble, to cry out to You, to trust You. We don't have to have it all figured out. Thank You most of all for Jesus, who died on the cross for our sin, rose the third day, and He's coming again. In His name, amen. Would you stand together?